out-of-body lucid dreaming, remote viewing, it's all a very similar thing. The real difference between those things is the knowledge, fears, beliefs, and expectations of the person doing them. And the process that one goes through to get there is different. They all go through a different process. But the process often produces limitations on what they get. So, you know, like out of body is the hardest because it's got all this ritual. People think they're getting out of their body and they've got all these various gimmicks to get out of their body. And Bob Monroe wrote the book, he rolled out of his body. So there's tens of thousands of people lying there in their bed, you know, trying to roll out of the body and lifting their arms and looking to see if that's their out of body arm or their real arm. And there's all these techniques and things. Well, all the techniques are is to get your mind to connect to a different data stream. Okay, you're connected to this data stream in this physical reality. You can connect to a different data stream, different reality. All the various realities, if the reality is experiential, which means it's a reality in which you can experience, it's a virtual reality. So when you get out of this reality, you're in another virtual reality. There's only one thing that's fundamental, and that's consciousness itself. So when you die and you leave here, you're just in a different virtual reality that has its own purpose. You see, when you go to other universes, other physical universes that are sort of like this one, where you know, it's a different data stream. So that comes to the, it's kind of like you take relativity. You know, relativity basically says there is no fundamental inertial frame. So if you're here and you're moving along, you see things in certain ways based on relative motion. So it's relativity. If you're in a different frame, moving different ways, you see things differently. And it's not that this one's right and that one's wrong, because this is the real inertial frame and those are just fake inertial frames. It doesn't matter. All views are equally valid. You see, and that was the basic theory of relativity. Well, you raise that relativity theory up one notch. You take it up to the next level, and it says that all reality frames are essentially equal. In other words, your dream, when you dream, that's a different reality frame. It has a different rule set, so you can do different things. Flying in a dream isn't really very hard. Flying out of body isn't very hard. You're in a different rule set, different virtual reality. These are all virtual realities, but they're different. And the dream reality is not, oh, that's the fake one, that's not the real one. This physical or matter reality, this is the real one. They're just different virtual realities. And when you are here, this one seems real. When you are there, that one seems real. It's just like when you're on this inertial frame, you get one view. When you're on that inertial frame, you get a different view, and they're all the same. So there really is no such thing as physical and non-physical. That's all in the viewer's mind. That's the, the observer. You know, that's a function of the observer. Wherever the observer is, the observer interprets the data stream as being physical. Physical to him is just another word for the data stream I'm getting now. That's physical. When the data stream is in your dream reality, that data stream, that's physical. When I, you know, if I go, you know, in and out of body, and out of body, you know, it's just a word, right? It doesn't really mean anything. If I switch to a different universe, not part of this universe, or a different place within this universe, it's just, I get a different data stream. I don't get this data stream anymore. I get a different one. And I can parallel process and get some of both of them. But it's just a matter, it's not that one's more real than the other. It's just a different perspective of the observer. There is no physical and non-physical. So you might just as well say everything is physical or everything is non-physical. Well, a lot of the poets and spiritual people a long time ago, they picked everything is non-physical, right? It's all maya. It's all, you know, nothing here is really solid or substantial. Well, you could just as easily say everything is physical. Everything's substantial everywhere. It really makes no difference because there is no such thing, really. Fundamentally, physical and non-physical don't exist. Now, reference to here, let's call this virtual reality, which is just information, you know, physical. Then we can talk about dreams as being the non-physical, or consciousness being non-physical, because consciousness is not this reality. This is just a product of consciousness. So that's the, you know, it's another concept. There is no non-physical. There's just a point of view, just the reference point of view of the observer, and they are all equally valid. That dream reality is another learning lab where you can do things and have experiences that you can't have here. So you get opportunities to learn in ways there that really wouldn't work very well if they were here. So that's just another place you could go. So here we are, we're this working fluid in the consciousness evolution, and we work all day and we work all night. There isn't any break. Well, no, you're just consciousness, and you are presented with choices all the time, whether you're asleep or whether you're awake, because that's what you do. You make choices in the present of your experience, and when you do, you either take a step toward evolution or de-evolution, a step toward becoming love or a step toward becoming fear. And work all day, work all night. There's no time that you're not at work. Another thing we might mention, some people say, are the things like lucid dreaming and out of body and that kind of stuff. Are they important? Is that an important step on the path to spirituality? And the answer is no. It's not important for anything. It's an experience. And if you use it as a way to learn that reality is much bigger than what you thought, and that it's a lot more than the physical, and if you can get some sense of the reality being bigger than this, then it's done you some good. So it's not that it can't do you any good. You can learn things from it. It can be part of your spiritual path, but it's not necessary. You don't have to ever do anything paranormal to lower your entropy and to become a spiritual person. It's not about paranormal. It's about becoming love. And there's three fundamental different approaches that you can make. It's the one, what do they call them? It's the approach of the warrior, the warrior's path. That means you work it out, you figure it out, you learn, you grow, you experiment, you see what's going on, you find your fear and get rid of it, you face it, that's the warrior's path. And then there's the the path of surrender, and that's the least trouble. You just surrender, it is, which means you basically give up your ego. When you give up your ego, you give, the ego and fear. Basically, it says, fear, I just surrender anyway. Do what you want with me. I'm yours. It's a surrender. And when you let go of your fear, the ego goes, everything goes, and you can do that way. And the other one is the path of, what's it called? Path of service. Helping, doing for others rather than self, giving. Well, what's that? Loving, right? Caring, loving. So that's exercising your love part as opposed to your fear part. And that's another path. If you're focused on your loving, then you're not focused on your fear. So the fear goes away because you forget about it. So all of those paths will get you there. And it really doesn't matter which one you take or what combination of all three that you take. And those three are all just really, it's another, like the chakras, we're just slicing and dicing the information to separate things, and there's nothing fundamental about the separation. It's really all just one thing growing up, but it makes it easier for people if you can make it less abstract and more concrete. The more you can make it concrete, then the easier it is for people to grasp it. So that's why we break things down like this. But they're all just metaphors and ways of slicing and dicing information. Nothing fundamental about anything except consciousness itself. There's no real recipe for any of this other than growing up, becoming love. That's the key ingredient. So that's why certain things happen. That's why some people can read the tea leaves and some can't, because some people practice making that connection to that database and honing their intent to be clear exactly who and what and why. Very specific intent will get you a very specific answer. A very general intent will get you a very muddled, you know, general answer. So that's part of the of how you heal as well. A very specific focus will enable you to heal another person just by changing the probable future of their illness. If you've got a very general focus, like get better, get well, that'll help, but it'll be a softer, you know, not as dramatic a help because it's a very general kind of thing. But if you say, oh, you know, you have a tumor on, you know, on your left lung, and you know, and you work on getting rid of that particular tumor in that particular place, then you can focus a lot more energy on that thing, and you'll do a lot better than get well. Another thing, you know, we get to the healing, you know, and we talk about light workers. Well, there really is no such thing as light. You know, there is no light, and we talk about auras. You know, I've seen auras and for probably 35 years, you know, but auras are just data from the database. Light is just a tool. It's a metaphor. It's not real. You can see auras around people, but you can see the auras around those people even if people aren't around, you see? It's just information. It's all just information, and you can collect this information from the database. So if you go to the database and you say, I'd like to see the emotional body of so-and-so, and if in your mind an emotional body has a specific, you know, definition, you can get that data. Or if you want to say, I want to see their spiritual body, I want to see their health body, or anything you want, you're making it up. And if you'd like to see anger in that emotional body as red, anger will be red. If you want to see anger as black, anger's black. There's none of that is fundamental. It's all your inquiry. You make a query with your intent, but you also get to specify the format of the answer. So when you look at somebody and say, oh, I want to see their health aura, well, you are querying the database for a health aura for that person, and you are also getting kind of the default format out, which is the default you've read about, what other people have told you. That's the way you think it is, so that's your default format. That's your own definition of what these things are. So if you read C.W. Ledbetter's Man Visible and Invisible, and you've seen all the color plates of what auras look like, then you'll tend to get that very same thing. And you'll go, oh, I'm seeing the same thing he did. Well, yes, you're asking for similar information, and you're giving it a similar output format. You'll see the similar kinds of things in the same way. But you don't have to do that. So that takes back to the healing. So when you heal somebody, and a typical way that we heal is with light. So we imagine the person, and that's just some kind of body shape person, okay? And they have a head, arms, a trunk, legs, feet, that kind of thing. But if you worry about detail, trying to get a picture, you're wasting your time on things that don't matter. This is just you focusing your mind. It really isn't a health order. There's just information and a way to configure the information. So here's a humanoid outline, and I want to see the health of a certain person. So then I state, I want white to be healthy, I want black to be unhealthy, and the more unhealthy it is, the blacker it gets. So a light gray is not so good, but a coal black is deadly. Okay, so that's my output format. So I do that. So then I bring up this gingerbread man, kind of outline this person, and I say, well, now I want to see their health in this black and white. And those are my things. And then you get it. And you say, oh, there's a black spot over here. Now, if you forgot to say whether or not you were looking at their back or their front, you might get right and left wrong. You see? If you don't specify, you might get that. Well, that's just, you know, it's a detail. You're looking at, if you don't tell Google what you want it to get, you'll get a lot of random stuff comes in for that variable. So if I don't mention left or right, I get kind of a wild card, kind of a random draw on what left and right is. You know, if I specify it, then it'll come out the way I want it to be. So you have to specify those things. So then you see that dark spot. Now that's the diagnosis part. You're just getting data from the database. All right, now I'm going to get a bright light, and I'll shine my bright light on that dark spot until the dark spot goes away. The light is a metaphor. There is no light. Or you can say I'm putting energy on it. Energy is a metaphor for something that makes a change. That's all. It's just a metaphor. So your light's a metaphor. That dark spot's a metaphor. The gingerbread man's a metaphor. They're all metaphors trying to help you focus your intent on what you want to happen, you know, and changing the probable future. So we use all these tools. There's nothing fundamental about them. There's nothing fundamental about an aura. You could just as easily say, I want everything that's healthy to be black. And the blacker it is, the good, shiny, beautiful black, the healthier it is. And the whiter it gets, the worse it is. And the worst at all would be a bright light that just shines out at me. That would be the worst. It would work just the same. You see? And then you could make all that white stuff go away and turn black. It would work just the same. It's your intent is what makes the difference. It's not the colors. It's not the light. All of those are tools. Because you have that belief, then you have to have a tool that's other than you. If you feel that you can do it and you're a healer, then you can have light. You can burn it away. And the light's just a tool. There is no light. This is a virtual reality. Light's just data. You're just data. Your brain's just data. It's all information, you see. We're part of this larger information system. What matters is your intent and how tightly and sharply you can focus that intent. That's why we learn to meditate first, because if we don't meditate, our mind is all over the place and it's not very focused. So we learn to meditate so our intent is very finely focused on just what we want to focus on. And then if we can get our intent to be very sharp, well-defined, that's all you need. So these beliefs get in the way, but you can, if they get in the way, you can use them as tools. That way they're really not in the way. They limit you, in a sense. You're limited by your tools. Never take your tools too seriously. They're just tools. What happens with people is the tools become sacred. They get sacred tools. And, oh, you have to do it this way, and these symbols, and my tools are better than your tools, and you get into all this arguing, and I'm a Reiki master, and you know I know more than anybody because, and I use these tools, and these are the real tools, and your tools are just unreal. You know, they're all just tools, and you can learn any kind of system. You know, it's in every sect and group. And whatever has their own tools, whether it's the Christian cross or the, you know, the Star of David or whatever, there's their own kind of tool set that they use, or the rosary beads for the Catholics. And these are just tools, and they're tools to help you focus. So first, learn to meditate, get your mind clear. Secondly, focus on what it is you want. The only active ingredient is consciousness, conscious intent. That's the active ingredient. So when a prognosticator throws the chicken bones on the floor or looks at the tea leaves, what they're doing is they'll have an intent to get certain kinds of information. They get that intent out of the probable future database. Again, it's just probable. It's not done deal. And they've used these symbols, okay, to describe the data. Well, what happens, the chicken bone symbols are pretty, you know, pretty loose, right? What you get there, and same with tea leaves. So you can kind of see what you need to see. So these things, you know, how they work is, and you can see that there's consistency. They all kind of work the same, on the same sort of principle. The chicken bones are the cards, the way you know, the I Ching, the way the reeds fall, or the dimes flip, or however it is you want to do it. You have a situation that has a lot of uncertainty in it. Where you have a lot of uncertainty, anything can happen. You see, where there's lots of uncertainty, the larger system can come in, do it the way it wants to do, you know, can basically configure it the way it wants to configure it, and it hasn't broken any rules. It hasn't done anything paranormal. It hasn't done anything, you know, it hasn't turned a mountain into a lake. You know, it hasn't done anything that people, you know, would worry about. But it's, so you pick a thing that has lots of uncertainty, which is this, you know, chicken bones, the reeds, I don't know what you call those things in the I Ching that you drop them, but there's a name for them. Well, those are things full of uncertainty. So the larger consciousness system, just like it can do, just like it can do synchronicity, just like it can give you a paranormal experience to open your mind, it can make those bones fall however they want because there's no set way that they have to fall. See, there's no set way that those reeds or that those coins that you flipped or anything else. So if it wants to communicate with you through that medium, you set up any medium you want to set up. You just dream one up where there's a lot of uncertainty in the result. Have an intent at what it is that you want, the question you want, or the kind of information you want, and you've just set up a process by which the larger conscious system can communicate with you, you see, because of the uncertainty. So that's why chicken bones, that's why reeds fall, that's why coins flip, you know, that's why tea leaves swirl. It's because all of these are high uncertainty configurations that can be manipulated easily without breaking any rules about, you know, having things leap up off the table and fly through the air or any kinds of other. You don't have to do anything paranormal. The system can do it, just like the synchronicity. Oh, you just happened to bump into so-and-so and, you know, they told you about this other thing and it changes your life. And, you know, that's synchronicity. Those things can be manipulated without it ever looking like anything's ever been manipulated. It looks like you got magic chicken bones, you know, or magic tea leaves, or you're a magic person. And the people who do them don't know how they work either. But that's how they work. They're a tool by which the system, so you make one up your own and it'll work just as well. But the key ingredient there isn't the Ouija board, and it isn't the chicken bones or the tea leaves. It's the conscious intent with a clear intent that can focus the question to the database and, you know, query it and get a reply. That's what's really happening. So, yeah, when the old voodoo lady, you know, comes out of the mountains, she can do it. But if you pick up the chicken bones, it doesn't mean anything. Well, the difference is that you don't have the intent focused on it, and you don't have the pattern of what the bones mean to do it. You see, she does it because she has the intent. So that's the difference. It's the same. You know, it's the same way with all of it. The individuals that do that have just learned to do it because it works. So they do what works, what feels right. And over time, what they're learning to do is meditate, focus their mind, have an intent, query the database, get a result back, accept that result, get their ego out of the way so the ego doesn't start operating on the result and, you know, messing it up. And they learn that skill. But anybody can learn that skill. You know, you don't have to be born with the eye, you know, or something to, you know, to do those skills. It's just a matter of having a clear intent, getting the database. So that's how those things work. The healing works just like we say, and you can just as easily use any color you want to do things. So you don't need black spots. You don't need any of that kind of stuff. When it gets right down to it, you really don't need tools. You can just directly work with the intent on the problem. But most of us use tools anyway, because we have beliefs and we have things we've read that are the right way, or we have groups that we've joined and they do it this way, you know, so we use these symbols and that. The bigger picture says that none of that matters. It's all metaphor. Once you have your mind calm to the point that you can produce a clear and focused intent, the rest of it's up to you. What do you want to intend? It's, you know, the out of body is the same way. You go out of body, people go out of body, and the first thing they do is turn around and look at their body lying in the bed, right? That's because they have a belief that they came out of their body. They're not coming out of their body. The body doesn't have anything to do with it. It's a virtual body and a virtual brain and a virtual reality. You're not coming out of it. Consciousness doesn't live in your body. You know, consciousness is consciousness. It's the larger consciousness system. You're just a piece of it who've restricted some part of yourself to the constraints of the simulation. That's all. And you're just getting a data stream that defines this reality. So your consciousness doesn't live in your body. So you can see somebody's aura whether their body's around or not. Doesn't make any difference. It's just data in the database. Prayer works? Sure, prayer works. Prayer is another way, another form of meditation. Now, people who pray that can't focus their mind, it doesn't work very much. If for them it's just a wish, but The point is, all you're doing is raising the probability. It's the same with somebody healing. You may or may not be able to heal that spot because they may need that sickness. That illness is maybe a challenge for them. Something they're going to learn something from. And whether it kills them or not, it's not that big a deal. Remember, we're just going round and round and round, and okay, it kills you this time. Well, you learn something, you go back and you do it again. So they may need that experience of that illness. And if that's the case, you'll work on it some, but they'll put it right back. You'll take that spot away and they'll put that spot right back. And you can override them if you're a lot stronger than them. You can force that spot away. And what'll happen is 6 months later, they'll get run over by a truck. You know, something else will happen. So trying to force reality to be the way you want it is a bad idea in general. The idea, once you learn this and you know that you can control a lot of things with your intent, you generally don't control anything with your intent, because you realize that to try to control what happens is to rob yourself of the ability to grow from what happens. You become the master of everything on the front end, and everything that comes to you is like your choice. Well, that gives you plain vanilla nothing as far as the challenges to grow up and to learn. I mean, that's the point. The way it works is that, you know, there's this very simple idea about life and how it works. Stuff happens, we get to deal with it. That's the choices from our decision space. How we deal with it depends on whether we evolve or devolve the quality of our consciousness. So what's important isn't the stuff that happens. That's the stuff comes in the front end. You know, whatever happens, happens. That's good. What's important is how we deal with it. That's what's really important. So if you focus on how you deal with it, the what happens part is, eh. Hey, give me your best shot. Throw me something, you know, creative. Whatever happens. So you get to the point that manipulating what happens on the front end of this is, why would I want to do that? I'm taking all the naturalness out of my own opportunity to grow up. Let the larger consciousness system toss anything it wants at me, because it knows the challenges that maybe will help me grow. So let it challenge me with sickness or with this or with that or with, you know, death of a parent or a child or however hard things come to you. These are challenges for you. And what happens isn't where the action is. All the actions and how you deal with it. Of those decisions in your decision space, which one do you choose? You know, that's what's important. So it's a real simple thing, you know, and that is, but most of us spend all of our time trying to make sure that what happens is what we want to happen. And all of our energy is focused there. And that's our whole world is there. And how we deal with it, we just deal with however we deal with it. You know, there's no real focus on what are my choices? How could I deal with it? Do I get angry? You know, do I not? You know, do I learn? Do I look for the lesson and how to grow from this? What is it that I can learn? How can I approach this with love? You know, how can I, let's put a little focus here on how I deal with it and take the focus off of what happens. That would be a great way to start, you know, for somebody who wants to grow, you know, just deal with life as it comes. And of course, all kinds of philosophers and people say that, right? They'll say, live in the present. It's the same thing, right? Live in the present. Deal with what happens there. Put all your focus on what is now and be a part of that. Don't be wishing for what will happen, you know, for the future, and don't be crying over what happened in the past. Just live in the present and do what you can do. Well, they're saying exactly the same thing I'm saying. You know, here's where the action is. Make your best choices. That's what you have to do, is just live here. Don't worry about after you've made your choice. It's your choice. Well, learn from it. You can see the ramifications, and don't worry so much what feeds into the other end. Just deal with it here. But that's why it's important, because that's where free will only exists in the present, and that's where all your learning comes from. You see? So we need to not worry too much about what happens on either end. Just focus on what happens here, and it's a day by day, minute by minute. What am I doing, and am I doing it well? Could I do it better? What can I learn from it? And if you do that, You know, what's the old saying? Live your life like every day was your last. Well, it's just another way of saying, you know, live now. In the, be here now. Ram Dass, right? Be here now. It's not like this stuff's new. You know, this stuff's been around forever. All sorts of thousands of people have seen how reality works and have a part of it correct. Lots of people do. All the big religions of the world have parts of this. They understand it, you know. But nobody seems to have the big picture of how it all fits together into one piece. And how it, you know, what's the mechanics of it and how does it fit. So that's really my contribution, is I kind of have the whole picture, and that I've put it in metaphors and models of current idiom.